Morning. Open in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, and we will begin in verse 34 this morning. Mark 8, verse 34. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." Let us pray together. Righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you have preserved for us. We pray, Father, that you help us to increase in understanding and in our devotion to you. Righteous Father, your Son has given everything for us. And we pray, Father, that we will take up our cross and follow after him. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, so last week, we saw Jesus begin to proclaim his death and resurrection in plain language. And we saw Peter's response to that he begins rebuking him. All right, and there's a reason for that we'll talk about in a second. Fairly obvious one. But Jesus turns and rebukes Peter back. He says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And that sets the context for today's reading. Is that there is already this matter of Jesus' death and eventual resurrection. Peter objects to what he is saying, and Jesus says, "You're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." The proclamation of the gospel in today's reading is dead simple. I'm not going to belabor it. The way of Christ goes through suffering and death, but ultimately leads to life, to eternal life. That is the way that our Lord went, and it's the way that we must go. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." We talked about this on Thursday. We're at a time of the year when most of the world is perhaps thinking on the birth of Christ and his arrival into this world. We've been studying it in our Bible class in here in the mornings and on Thursday evenings. But we pointed out that our Lord was born so that he could die. And he died so that he could live again. In dying, he forgave us of our sins. And in living again, he defeated death for all of us. And if we want to share in that victory, that eternal life, the new life of Jesus Christ, if we want to save our lives, then we will go the way that he went. That way passes by the cross. And the difficulty with that is that it feels like dying. Right? Any worldliness that still lives in our wills is going to look at the way of Christ and is going to start setting off the alarm bells. Okay? Something's deeply wrong here. There's danger here. Because the way of Christ looks like the way of death. And the worldliness in us resists going down that way. I don't know if you're familiar with the magician David Blaine. He performed a stunt years ago where he made a world record attempt at holding his breath. And being a magician, I don't know if he actually did it or not, or if he was faking it. I think he briefly held the world record, perhaps still does, allegedly held his breath for over half an hour in a water tank, and is recorded and everything. But he gave a speech afterward where he was detailing all that he went through to prepare himself for that world record attempt. And then he described what it was like to be in this big tank of water, holding his breath for over half an hour. And he said, I forget what minute mark he said it was. Things got really difficult, that he started having to struggle with this feeling of panic in himself. He said, it's like a sudden urge to breathe. It's like, no joke. That's wild, man. But the way of Christ does that to us. Right? The worldliness in us will look around and say, throw on the brakes here. We are dying. And that's something that we have to overcome. Jesus says that we must deny ourselves. That's part of what's going on. And even when the Christian life doesn't maybe necessarily feel like dying, at the very least, it often feels like losing. And this is why Jesus raises this question: what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? All right, that must be a trade that some part of us wants to make, that some part of us thinks that we can make. And then if we don't make that trade, we're losing out. Otherwise, Jesus' question here doesn't make a whole lot of sense. All right, saving our souls, following after Christ, going along the way of Christ, often looks and feels like losing. And in a real sense, it very often is. Right, consider what Jesus says towards the end of today's reading. Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Sometimes following after Christ looks like losing, feels like losing, because in some real sense it involves us losing things. Jesus is talking about outside pressure to get us to quit the way of the cross. We know that there can be huge familial and social pressures working against us when we follow after Christ. Because, look, I mean, if it sometimes feels and looks like death to us, what must it look like to people who don't believe? When they look at our lives and hopefully, we hope, see the life of Jesus Christ in us, a life that leads to the cross, it's a stumbling block to people. It offends people. And there can be huge pressures against those of us who are on the way. Remember, Christ himself didn't just die. Right? It's not like he was just processed through some facility somewhere. Nobody ever said anything to him. They just put him up on the cross and that was it. He was falsely accused. He had to sit through a sham trial, where they're bringing out all kinds of false witnesses, accusing him of all kinds of things. They couldn't even get two witnesses to agree, which means that they had people accusing him of just about everything under the sun, just to see what would stick. He was ridiculed. He was spat on. People were mocking him as he was hanging. Imagine that. Not only undergoing the physical suffering of death in his body, but being mocked for it while it's happening. The way of the cross, again, looks like death and it looks like loss. loss of reputation, loss of friendship, loss of family, loss of worldly success, sometimes, often, perhaps. But in the end, the way of Jesus Christ is the only way. And it is the way that we call all people to. We invite you today to do precisely as Jesus says. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after Jesus. Believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. It is good news that we're talking about here. Again, it sounds like death and loss, but it is good news. Over our studies recently, we have seen angels celebrating this news. Right? We've seen a party thrown in heaven over this news, because this news leads to life. We invite you to believe in that good news, to turn away from sin, to confess Jesus as Lord, to be baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection for the remission of your sins, and to follow after him all the way. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?